In the light of Jesus, our perfect light, may you have grace that is multiplied this Christmas season, grace which goes out beyond the bounds of this building, out into the world that needs so desperately to hear of that message of grace and light through you. Amen. Please be seated. The text for our meditation today is exactly what you've just seen and witnessed, acted out before you. It takes careful attention to notice this story unfold, especially when our children tell it to us. But as you noticed, undoubtedly the images before you and the figures are there. All the characters are in place, and the story again has been told. I want to thank those who led us in telling the story, those of you who put the figures onto the board, those of you who read parts of the text and who sang and who bring it to life again for us this year. This is the Christmas story. This is what happened 2,018 years ago and why we go to all the trouble of making the decorations and the foods and even sometimes buying all those things and making all those things for each other. A whole bunch of wonderful energy goes into celebrating Christmas, and this is why. It's his birthday, Jesus' birthday. Now, you've probably heard the story before. No doubt you've even probably told the story before, maybe more times than you can count. But one of the reasons that this story doesn't get old or boring to us is that it's always possible to look through someone else's eyes, to understand the message of the coming of Jesus from a new perspective. And I noticed as you were putting the figures onto the board, and as everything is in place and so beautiful, there's just one little problem. One little left-out sheep. He's still here. He didn't have room with the other sheep there. And so I'm going to tell you a story now. And kids, the ones especially who were in front leading us today, I'm going to tell you a story about this guy. This is a story written by Max Lucado, and it's called The Crippled Lamb, and it's about this one. I'll maybe see if I can get him to stick here. Once upon a time, in a sunny valley, there lived a little lamb named Joshua. Now, Joshua's white with black spots, and he had black feet. Joshua felt sad when he played with the other lambs because they were usually snow white with no spots, and he felt sad when he saw the other lambs with their mums and dads because Joshua didn't have a mum or dad. But most of the time, Joshua felt saddest when he saw the other lambs running and jumping because he couldn't do that. Joshua had been born with one leg that didn't work right. He was crippled. And he always limped when he walked, and he couldn't walk very far, and that's why he always watched the other lambs while they were playing, and he felt sad and alone most of the time, except when his best friend Abigail was around. Now, Abigail was not a typical friend for a lamb. She was an old crow. Brown with white blotches, it looked like rain puddles on the path. Her belly was round as a barrel, and her voice was always kind and friendly. But some of Joshua's favorite hours were spent with his friend Abigail. They loved to pretend they were on adventures in distant lands. They loved to tell stories to each other and look at the stars. They were good friends. But even with a friend like Abigail, Josh still got sad. It made him sad to be the only lamb who couldn't run and jump and play in the grass. Now that's when Abigail would usually say, "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." Joshua wanted to believe her, but it was hard. Some days he just felt alone. He really felt alone the day that the shepherds decided to take the lambs to the next valley where there was more grass to eat. The grass in the valley that they were in had been chewed down nearly down to the dust. And all the sheep were excited when the shepherd told them they were going to a new meadow. As they prepared to leave, Josh hobbled over and took his place at the edge of the group. But the other lambs started laughing at him. "You're too slow to go all the way to the next valley," they said. "Go back, Slowpoke. We'll never get there if we have to wait for you. Go back, Joshua." That's when Joshua looked up and he saw the shepherd standing in front of him. "They're right, my little Joshua," he said. "You'd better go back. This trip is too long for you. Go spend the night in the stable." Joshua looked at the man for a long time. Then he turned slowly and began limping away. When Joshua got to the top of the hill, he looked down and saw all the other sheep headed toward the green grass. Never before had he felt so left out. A big tear slipped out of his eye, rolled down his nose, and fell on a rock. Just then he heard Abigail behind him, and Abigail said what she always said when Josh felt sad. "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." Slowly, the two friends turned and walked to the stable together. By the time they got to the little barn, the sun was setting like a big orange ball. Josh and Abigail went inside and began to eat some of the hay out of the feed box, and they were very hungry, and the hay tasted good. And for just a little while, Joshua forgot that he'd been left behind. "Go to sleep, little friend," Abigail said after they finished eating. "You've had a hard day." Joshua was tired, so he lay down in the corner on some straw and closed his eyes, and he felt Abigail lie down beside him, and he was glad to have Abigail as a friend. Soon Josh was asleep, and at first he slept soundly, curled up against Abigail's back. In his sleep he dreamed. He dreamed of running and jumping, just like the other sheep did. He dreamed of long walks with Abigail through the valley, and he dreamed of being in a place where he never felt left out. Suddenly, strange noises woke him up. "Abigail," he whispered, "wake up. I'm scared. What's happening?" Abigail lifted her big head and looked around. The stable was dark, except for a tiny bit of light coming in through the window. "Someone is in here," Josh whispered. They looked across the dimly lit stable. There, lying on some fresh hay on the feed box, was a baby. A young woman was resting on a big pile of hay beside the feed box, and she looked like she was asleep. Joshua looked at Abigail, thinking his friend could tell him what was going on, but Abigail was just as surprised as Joshua. Joshua looked again at the woman and the child and then limped across the stable to get a closer look. He stopped next to the mother and looked into the baby's face. The baby was crying. He was cold. The woman had picked up the baby and put him on the hay next to her, but she was too tired to hold him. Josh looked around the stable for something to keep the baby warm. Usually there were blankets, but not tonight. The shepherds had taken them all on their trip across the valley, and so then Josh remembered his own soft, warm wool. Timidly, he walked over and curled up close to the baby. "Thank you, little lamb," the baby's mother said softly. Soon the little child stopped crying and went back to sleep. About that time, a man entered the stable carrying some rags. "I'm sorry, Mary," he explained. "This is all the cover I could find." "It's okay," she answered. "This little lamb kept the new king warm." Joshua looked at the baby and wondered, "A king? A king?" "His name is Jesus," Mary spoke as if she knew Josh's question. "God's son. He came from heaven to teach us about God." Just then there was another noise at the door. It was the shepherds, the ones who had left Joshua behind. Their eyes were big and they were excited. "We saw a bright light and heard the angels," they began. And then they saw Joshua next to the baby. "Joshua, do you know who this baby is?" "He does now," said the young mother who was speaking. She looked at Joshua and smiled. "God has heard your prayers, little lamb. This little baby is the answer." Joshua looked down at the baby. Somehow he knew that this was a special child, that this was a special moment. Somehow he also understood why he had been born with a crippled leg. If he had been like the other sheep, he would have been across the valley. But since he was different, since he was slow, since he was crippled, he was in the stable that night among the first to welcome Jesus into the world. He turned and walked back to Abigail and took his place beside his best friend. And as the two friends looked at each other, Joshua said, "You were right, Abigail. God does have a special place just for me." That's the story of the crippled lamb, as written by pastor and author Max Lucado. And it teaches us some simple but important things about Christmas, doesn't it? It teaches us that everybody has a place, Everybody has a role in this story that we celebrate each Christmas. Maybe you wonder, as we get ready for Christmas, maybe you wonder, what's my part in all this Christmas business? Maybe you feel like everyone else seems to know what they're doing, but you're not so sure. Maybe you feel like you're either too small or too big. Maybe you feel like you're either too young or too old for anyone to really listen to you anymore. Maybe you feel like you're too broken or too shy or too needy or too long-winded to really have any kind of role in telling this story. We all have things that keep us from coming right out into the middle of it and celebrating that this is our story, celebrating that Jesus came to us to be our King. The good news, the reminder that Jesus came for everyone, is the news that we celebrate here at Christmas. He came as a gift to each person, every human being who has ever lived, and all the people that are also going to live after we're gone. That's pretty hard for us to get our minds around, but it's true, and somehow Jesus knows. Somehow, because He's God in the flesh, and He's able to know each of us just as we are, He knows exactly what part of the story we play. I wonder if you feel as though you're part of this story yet. I wonder if this December, as you've been preparing for Christmas, you have been invited right into the center of it. There are all kinds of ways that we can think, maybe as we get older, even more and more ways stack up against us that we think that we're not really connected to this story anymore. We're not maybe really good enough to be part of this story. The funny thing is, actually, we're not good enough to be part of this story, and that's sort of the point, isn't it? If we were good enough to be part of the story, then we wouldn't need to be part of the story. If we were good enough, then we wouldn't need Jesus to come. But since we're all, in some way, just like Joshua, broken, twisted a little bit by sin or by the effects of the world, by our own natures, since we are all, in our inner hearts, sinful, needy, broken people, since we all sometimes choose to do the wrong things, forget about being kind or generous or forgiving, and since we all sometimes even hear all about this message of Jesus' miraculous, spectacular love for us, and yet our hearts somehow say, I just don't know. Maybe we'd rather just watch TV or play video games somewhere. Since we are all broken, the truth is none of us are good enough to be part of this story. But all of us are broken enough for Jesus to have become part of our story. And that's what Christmas really is, isn't it? It's God coming down out of heaven to be part of your story. It's God taking the initiative, closing the distance between Him and you and coming into your life. That's why it's so powerful to see people using their gifts today, like our little ones have done, to tell this story again, to sing and to act it out in front of us. Because Jesus has become part of your lives now. His light shines through you. He wants you to keep writing your story. The best parts are still coming. And He wants to put that light in you forever. He lived and taught people and even suffered and died on the cross to forgive those broken parts of you, to heal those broken and twisted parts of you that were marred by sin, so that you could keep writing, so that you could keep living and shining. Always another chapter to come, more joy and life to discover. Always another tomorrow full of hope because He is with us. I want to close and wrap up my thoughts today by saying just one more thing, and that is this. Not only does Jesus want you to be living your story and be part of it with you, but this church family, this community of faith, desperately needs you to tell your story here too. You see, sometimes we know that Jesus comes to us in our own personal time, in our personal way, and we might be able to understand and accept that, but we also need each other. This church needs to be a place of wonder and worship and community for many more generations to come, for all the people that need to hear the message of Christmas. And everyone has a gift to offer, whether it's part of your brokenness, like Joshua, bringing that into God's service, or maybe it's part of your wealth or your wisdom, like the Magi who came later on. You are important to this place, and everybody has a gift to bring. Maybe you're good with computers, or maybe you know how to play basketball. Maybe food is your art form, or maybe you know about tools and how to be handy, and maybe you have gifts that just involve watching, and you see things that nobody else sees. Jesus knows that there's so much that I don't see around here, and the other leaders that are sometimes around, that we need each other. We need all the parts of this body, which is his body. Jesus being born in the world is the start of it, but it keeps growing from there, and his body grows as you come forward with the gifts that he has given you, and you unwrap them and you give them to one another. So I want to invite you to bring your gift as well, to find your role, no matter what it is, whether you think it's a big deal or a small deal, it's part of the deal. And it's part of what Jesus is doing among us today. If you don't see that open door right in front of you, if you don't see maybe even 10 or 15 or 100 invitations opening before you, that means that maybe we haven't done a good enough job of communicating and showing you those open opportunities. Maybe the people that we often see around here who we know are leaders, maybe we also need to take responsibility to open those doors, to communicate those open doors to you. And I don't promise that it'll be easy, not sometimes even comfortable or enjoyable. Jesus told his followers that if they were going to be his followers, they were going to have to take up their crosses and deny themselves and follow him. And that's sort of the opposite of comfortable and easy, isn't it? So no, it's not going to be easy or comfortable or sometimes even enjoyable, but it is going to be good. Good is better than comfortable. And it is going to be fulfilling, and fulfilling is better than easy. And it is going to be purposeful. And because of those things, following Jesus, dear friends, if you take that challenge, if you follow him, and if you become the body of Christ to one another, it will be satisfying in a way that being comfortable and being easy and being content, those things can't ever match. And so may you find your part right in this story. May you tell it with all the joy and the glory and the resurrection life that Jesus has put in your heart too. And may he make his dwelling here, right in our hearts, right within this family of faith. God's people, go forth and shine. Amen.